Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy, I'm joining you live right now on WWCR around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South. My, it's good to have you aboard. We got a great message. We're actually going into part three of the birthright. We're going to tell you a little bit about the blessing of the bride and the bridegroom, as they now have the birthright back to its rightful owner. Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. You might have not known that it's been stolen right out from under the nose of those who profess to know. And the Bible said, because you say you see not. And blessed are those that have been blinded to these divine covenant revelations, because they are reserved for the last days when the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And now Yahweh, the eternal King of glory, to whom he had the advantage over the wisdom of the serpent people, took them in their craftiness, and by the foolishness of preaching, he brought this divine covenant revelation through his prophets into the last days to be made manifest as we restore the kingdom birthright to the bride and the bridegroom right out of the house of Joseph. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the birthright went to Joseph. He's the 11th son of Jacob's strength. Remember, it's the firstborn. Well, Jacob had a wife named Rachel. Now, he also had a wife named Leah. Now, let me show you something, ladies and gentlemen. Leah is the one that brought forth the birthright son. We're going to explore how that mystery has been manifested down through the ages in segments of Revelation. You see, Yahweh is holding back for the last days, the final end-time mystery revelations to be revealed only through the mouth of his prophets and those that have hazarded their life, those that have endured the tribulation. For after much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. So Yahweh is now in the last days raising up a people for his name. Now, if a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, well, isn't that the story of Jacob? Here in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 15. If a man have two wives, Jacob had two wives. Now, he also had two concubines. But you see, concubines, or the sons from the concubines, are not to have the right to the birthright. Now, that's the way Yahweh designed it. However, here it says, if one is beloved and the other hated, well, Jacob loved Rachel. He worked 7 years for her, and Laban, he tricked Jacob. Ladies and gentlemen, Jacob is so easy to deceive. You see, Israelites are naive. They're like sheep. They're dumb. You know, we don't smell a coffee till it's almost out of the cup. And somebody else has been drinking it. We'll get a whiff of it sooner or later, but mostly later. And they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated. And if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be that when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the first born, but he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn, by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Now listen to the rest of it here. If a man be stubborn and rebellious, well, isn't that what happened to Leah's son, Reuben? The first son that Leah, the hated, you see, she was very tender-eyed. Jacob wasn't interested in her at all. So for the first 7 years, after he got tricked by Laban, he went in thinking that he was going to sleep with Rachel, the beloved. And instead, Laban tricked him by sending in Leah, the tender-eyed wife, or the woman that was to become his wife. Once he laid with her, Jacob honored her as his wife. Now, that's some things that most Israelites have forgotten to do. You must honor. Now, Jacob had to work 7 more years, so 14 years, for the wife of his love. That was Rachel, and she was barren. Here come Leah, the hated and despised, basically. Jacob didn't have much love or respect for, as he did to Rachel. But the Bible said that she become a fertile myrtle. I'm telling you, she began to have babies. Reuben was the firstborn, and the Bible said that Reuben defiled his father's couch. In other words, he went up and slept with one of Jacob's concubines. Therefore, Jacob took away from him, it was Jacob's right to bestow, after this rebellious son, you see, there's the law being fulfilled right before your eyes. Out of the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 21, through verses 15 and through 20. Now, let's go a little bit deeper into the revelation of the birthright, because we want to eventually get down to the kinsman redeemer. You're going to be very pleasantly surprised, I hope. But if you have believed all along that Judah is the birthright son, you have believed a lie. And you have swallowed the lie of the deceptor and the deceivers that came out of the house of Judah. Well, you say, Pastor Buddy, isn't Judah the royal tribe? Aren't they the ones that were to produce kings? Yes, they were. But, ladies and gentlemen, just because that the house of Judah became great, there's a mystery behind how they became great. And the way that it started out, Judah, Yehuda in the Hebrew, which means praisers of Yah. Now, this is the fourth son of Jacob's strength. The first three sons were disqualified for one reason or the other. And we've covered that in Genesis chapter 46, where it covers the sons and their birth order. Now, Jacob in the land of Egypt, this is a strange place, together the sons, and announced to them in the land of darkness, or the land of Egypt, that they should gather the firstborn to set before him. Well, guess who that was? It was when Jacob found his long-lost birthright son, who he thought was dead and had disappeared. He was saving Binyamin from the strength of Rachel to succeed Joseph had the need be. In this case, Joseph was the preeminent. He was to receive as the 11th son. Yahweh found fault with all of the sons down to the 11th son. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it just happens to be that 11:1:1. Remember, 9:1:1. Well, isn't it significantly important that that number 11 has become one of the greatest, most powerful, impacting numbers in the number covenant scheme? You see, it is one number beyond the number 10, which is fullness. Well, there was 10 tribes. These 10 manifested before Jacob And just like David was chosen out of the 8 sons that Jesse had, he was picked last. Joseph was picked as the first son of the one that Jacob loved. Now, he had a right to give this birthright, and yet that caused animosity among the other brethren. They despised Joseph because they didn't feel like that he was worthy to receive the birthright, as Jacob had a right lawfully because of the disobedience of Reuben. He had the right then to choose to whom he would prefer the birthright to go. And of course, by loving Rachel, his beloved wife, he could no longer break the law by despising Leah. Because Leah's son, the firstborn, Reuben, transgressed and lost the birthright covenant to represent. Now, what do you make such a big deal out of the birthright for? Because nobody else does. Pastor Buddy is the only one that teaches in depth the comprehensive understanding of the great hidden mysteries of the Bible, beginning in the book of Genesis, chapter 35, where Jacob slept on a pillar at Bethel. Now, this was not Bethlehem, Judea that he slept there. At this time, there was no Bethlehem, Judea. And yet, somebody out of the house of Judah. Now, we're going to show you in the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis that there are two factions that we've got to deal with. Two sons. One son was from the Canaanite, Shua, and his name was Shelah, or Shiah. This was the strength of Judah's first birthright son. Remember, Er was the firstborn from the Canaanite marriage that Judah married. He married a Canaanite in Genesis chapter 38. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know that this woman would be despised. But if you read here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, that when thou goest forth to war against thine enemies, and Yahweh hath delivered them unto thine hands, and thou hast taken them captive, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and hast a desire unto her that thou wouldest take her to your wife, thou shalt bring her home to thine house, and she shall shave her head and par her nails. Oh my. And she shall put on the raiment of her captivity from off her, and shall remain in thine house, and bewail her father and her mother a full month, and after that thou shalt go in unto her and her husband, and she shall be thy wife. And it shall be, if thou have no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go whither she will. But thou shalt not sell her for money. Thou shalt not make merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. Verses 10 through 14. Now, what does that have to do with this piece of puzzle of divine covenant revelation, Pastor Buddy? Well, let's see. Let's go back again unto what Judah, this fourth son of Jacob's strength. Now, remember, he does not have no birthright. He does not have a promise of the birthright. The house of Judah, and most Christians, foolishly and ignorantly, believe through the sly cunning craftiness of false prophets. For that you must turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And in chapter 11, the division chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul, the master builder of the revelation and foundation of the Melchizedek priesthood, taught through divine covenant revelation that the false prophets, by Satan himself transforming himself into an angel of light, and I told you last Sunday that he will eventually come into the world in a living being, a flesh body. And he will convince the world that he is God. He will sit in the temple, now being planned by World War III. Coming soon to a neighborhood and every man, woman, and child upon the earth. A great transformation The vision of this prophet is now declaring unto you that the times of trouble, of Jacob's trouble, are to begin to happen and manifest right before our eyes. Even as I speak this message, this revelation is in step and in tune with the perfect times that Yahweh has declared to make His truth known unto His sheep. In the last days, this name, the great magnanimous, magnificent name of Yahweh, the name above every name that's been kept secret for all of the generations of time, considered to be by these false prophets telling the priesthood that they should refrain from speaking the name of Yahweh in public. And ladies and gentlemen, now the blind house of Israel is slowly emerging and awakening to the great divine manifestation of the great magnificent name of Yahweh. Why? Because the last days, all and whosoever will call upon my name. Now, how can you call without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? Faith comes by hearing, and revelation by divine covenant. At the appointed time, Yahweh shall send the shepherds, and they shall seek out the sheep. They shall call on the name of Yahweh, which is a strong tower. And as it says in Proverbs 18 and 10, the righteous will run into it and say. And now when Joseph is the 11th son of the beloved wife, Judah is the 4th son of the despised wife, Leah. Now then, the scriptures of Deuteronomy chapter 21 gives us the plan, and Yahweh's law cannot be broken. The birthright must go to the firstborn of the wife, whether she's loved or hated. Now, or despised, or looked down upon, or favoritism could not be shown unto the favorite wife as opposed to the wife that was less favored. And yet, the escape clause, Yahweh always puts a way in for us to escape, because Satan takes advantage of the stupidity of the dumb sheep and leads us into many temptations, just like he tried to lead Joseph when he was in the land of Egypt. He tried to get Joseph to go for the Egyptian woman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the honor and integrity of Joseph being falsely accused, finally serving 17 years in a prison in Egypt for a crime he did not commit. Well, isn't that just like the Messiah, the birthright son? Isn't he typing the birthright inheritor, the bridegroom? Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, the wedding is now set. She's done been celebrated in heaven. On the day of Pentecost, he got sons and daughters to come back from the bride and the bridegroom, sent greetings to the earth by adopting, if you will, the children and bringing them forth in the name of Yahweh, which is a strong tower with the righteous running into it. Now, here is the favorite son refusing the strange woman. Here is the 4th son of Jacob's strength, now declaring himself the possessor, rightfully so, of the birthright of the hated mother, Leah. With jealousy and power, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1, that the birthright actually belonged to Joseph, but that Judah would prevail over his brethren and take the birthright. Oh, my. Is that what happened? Yes. Now, 99% of the Christian or professing Christian in a risen Savior, Yahweh Shua in a flesh body, now admit that the Jews are God's chosen people, when in actuality and truth, it's a lie. Oh, my. deception after layer of corrupted deception by a people that profess themselves to be of God and are not, but are liars. Oh, does that make all of the house of Judah corrupt? Of course not. There was a rectification by the great, magnificent hand of Yahweh as he battled the cunning craftiness of the serpent trying to get his sons, Yahweh's sons, the 12 sons of Jacob, the promised son's blessing, that 12 sons would inherit the kingdom. And today, ladies and gentlemen, right now in New Jerusalem, there are 12 gates to the inner city where we shall live eternally. Go in and out and find pasture. There are 12 gates, and the name of Judah is on the fourth gate. It's actually the eastern gate. And did you know that Christians are preaching that Christ is going to come back through the eastern gate? Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that the book of Ezekiel declared that when you came in a gate, you never went out the same gate you come in? Well, he's done entered the eastern gate. He came 2,000 years ago through the eastern gate. He was born in the Middle East, but his face was headed west. That's where his 10 tribes went. That's when he hung on a torture stake, and his last utterance was, "Father, receive my spirit." This resurrected spirit of the bridegroom now resurrected his bride out of a grave of the book of Isaiah 26:19 that we covered in depth the last 2 hours of this message, the bride and the bridegroom, which now are in heaven, travailing and bringing forth sons and daughters, demonstrated on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Now it came to pass, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all of the house as cloven tongues of fire set upon each of these. And you know who they were, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, my. It says right in the second chapter of the book of Acts that all of those that were gathered there on the day of Pentecost were all Galileans. This Judite, this Canaanite Judite, whose name was Judas, in Hellenization Judah, in Hebrew, Hellenization is Judas. And a lot of people don't know that that was a bloodline recipient of the house of Judah. The only problem was he was from the bloodline of Cain. Slipped in through the blood of Judah. The serpent got into the house of Israel through the very blood that the people claimed to be God's chosen. And that's how they tricked the world into receiving the birthright. Now, we're going to get into the magnificent mysteries of the birthright. Ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis chapter 25, verse 31, Jacob said to Esau. Now here's another descriptive form of understanding to unlock the keys, or take the keys of revelation and unlock the great mystery that we know that Rebekah had 2 sons. One of them was the son of Isaac. Oh my. That was Jacob. The other was a seed or a tare in the womb of Rebekah. Now, how did she get in there? How did she get pregnant with a seed that didn't belong to Yahweh? Well, we know that the Bible says that Satan can take you captive at his own will. These fallen angels have magnificent power going about to deceive and sow in the tares. The tare sower is the enemy. In this case, the Tarsor came to Rebekah after she was impregnated by the Son of God. Oh my. By Isaac. And the Bible says that they were 2 different ethnos or manner of nations of people in the womb of Rebekah. So you see, when you do good, the devil's already there to sow the discord. And he will. He'll work in his children. They're always ready to defend Satan and offend Yahweh. And the Bible said, woe to them through whom these offenses come. It'd be better for them to not to know the way. It'd be better to put a millstone around their neck than to offend the truth of the revelations of Yahweh. They that found fighting against Yahweh shall perish and without remedy, for the day of judgment shall come swiftly upon those that reject the counsel and the teachings of the prophets and the teachers and the ministers and the seed sowers of true divine revelation. Jacob said, first sell me your birthright. Now it belonged to, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to say, it belonged to one of the seeds that Yahweh hated. Oh my, now Yahweh's got a dilemma. Can he deliver himself from it? Oh my. Yes, he can, ladies and gentlemen. Yahweh's got ways. Satan is crafty, but he's up against a major chess player and the greatest chess player upon the board of life and spiritual understanding and the hidden mysteries is Yahweh himself. He himself will send you a strong delusion if you get over in Satan's territory and want to buddy up with him. Yahweh will send you so much deception and confusion and deception that he could deceive the very elect if it was possible. Spiritual people will discern spiritual things. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. For these people have ears to hear. Now he's talking to the house of Israel. No, my, how blind, how stupid, how ignorant some of the Israelites or professing Israelites walking around in carnal flesh minds trying to comprehend the revelation and truth of Yahweh. And it will never be given unto them till they submit themselves and humble themselves to the divine covenant and the revelation. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when Miriam complained against Moses the prophet that Yahweh had chosen, Yahweh turned her into a leprous condition. And the only way that she could get this leprous condition of a curse off of her body was to go and fall into the feet of Moses and ask for forgiveness. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way that Yahweh has designed his covenant, and Satan has tried to sow the tares of dissension as long as I can remember. And I've been in this a long while, ladies and gentlemen. I'm now entering 50 years of pursuing the truth of Yahweh. I've done it with humbleness, fasting, and prayer, and intense study of the Word of Yahweh. I do not make apologies for the truth. If the truth will make you free, you're free indeed. If the truth binds you, it will actually tighten the noose around your own neck, and for rejecting knowledge, you shall hang yourself. My, Esau said, behold, I'm about to die in verse 32 of Genesis 25. So what use then is this birthright to me? You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said if we neglect this great salvation. So here, Jacob said, first swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and the lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose up to play. Remember the Bible said they ate and drank and rose up to play. That's the Canaanites. That's those that are affected with some of the truth. Did you know that there was a mixed Norki race in the book of Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, that there was a mixed race congregation that came out of the land of Egypt with the house of Israel? These were the murmurs. Oh my. These were the dissension. These are those that were sowing dissension among the brethren. They began to murmur. Not the house of Israel, not the true blood, but the blood of the mixed Canaanite seed that came out of Genesis chapter 38. These were those that caused the house of Israel to fear the giants over in the land of promise. And for their disobedience, they wandered for 40 years trying to obtain the birthright land of promise. Ladies and gentlemen, so then Israel now, with their rejection of the truth, by agreeing that the Jews are God's chosen people, blindness in part has happened to Israel, and they must wander for 2,520 years of punishment until the sins of their father, that's what we're paying for, ladies and gentlemen, blindness in part has happened to the house of Israel. Who are they? They're the birthright sons and daughters, the genuine laying asleep, agreeing with the bell box false prophets, hugged up, worshiping in a false name, doing everything contrary to the name of Yahweh, thinking that they're actually doing God a service. My, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that the time has come that judgment. Now, when I say judgment, it must. And when I say it must begin at the house of Yahweh. Now, what is judgment? It is a form of righteousness and divine covenant manifestation. Manifestation now, meaning that the time has come. I've got to be down here at the bottom of the hour right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to play you my covenant song, the Battlefield Song. I'll be back. I'm going to take a break. I'll be back with part two. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening to the Shepherd's Call, part two now. I'm very excited tonight. I feel the holy anointing of the Shekinah been on me all day long. My, how sweet it is and how pleasant to rejoice in the covenant truth and the divine revelation of Yahweh. Many strange things, ladies and gentlemen, has happened to the house of Israel. 5 centuries of existence as the house of Israel wandered through the mountains, the Caucasus Mountains, now the Caucasians are called as such, before the time is fulfilled for the divine covenant in the last day of revelation of the sons of Joseph, which will come to reunite the two sticks, the house of Judah and the house of Joseph Ephraim, the whole 13 tribes. When Jacob crossed his hands and adopted the two sons of Joseph, Joseph then surrendered the birthright grudgingly. He wanted Manasseh to have it. And ladies and gentlemen, did you know that most people believe that the United States is Manasseh in error? That the greatest nation upon the planet, which would become the nation of Ephraim, the covenant promise, and with his horns, he would push his enemies to the end of the earth. The only nation that is armed and capable of alone, I'm talking about alone, that could push the enemies of the earth to the ends of the earth would be the ram horn of the bull of Joseph, or the unicorn that Moses prophesied in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, and in the book of Genesis, the great prophet Jacob prophesied in the 49th chapter and the 22nd through the 24th verse that Joseph would be that double portion blessing nation that would gain the inheritance of the promise of Yahweh. Out of America will come the hope. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that we are in captivity in this nation. We know that Babylon is ruling. We know that the pharaohs of America are ruling. But ladies and gentlemen, once they realize the power of Joseph, the wisdom of Joseph, we'll know in the end time when this scenario will replay itself in enactment that all of the 10 tribes with the house of Benjamin and the other 10 tribes will come and bow before the covenant truth of the sons of Joseph as they bring the revelation, and then Yahweh will remove the blindness by taking his hand off the eyes of Israel as he took it off in the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus, as he took his hands off of Moses, as he desired to see the Shekinah and the glorified body of Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, that day has now been confirmed to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, what does this have to do, Pastor Buddy, with the 144,000 and the bride and the bridegroom? Well, I've been telling you that the bridegroom would have to have the birthright. And ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the Jews refused to acknowledge that this man from Galilee, this Galilean that is written about and discussed and debated in St. John chapter 7, that he was a Galilean? And when Pilate heard that he was from Galilee, because he asked him at the judgment hall, he referred him back to Herod, who was over the province of Galilee, who were killing the little male children 33 years prior to that, or 32 prior to that. Herod had killed all the male children trying to kill this Galilean delivery, the Son of God, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, as it is prophesied in the book of Isaiah. Unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and that government shall be upon his shoulders, and there'll be no end to that kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. And his name shall be called Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, and of his government there shall be no end. You think it's ended? Ladies and gentlemen, this government is in exile. This government is now an underground spiritual movement that is really catching on fire around the world. With the revelation of the divine covenant name and the restoration of the truth of who, and ladies and gentlemen, I offer $5,000 for anyone that can prove, as most Christians foolishly, ignorantly believe, and they're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and therefore, since they reject this knowledge of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, you think I'm playing a game when I offer people $5,000 to prove that Christ was a Jew or out of the bloodline tribe or the house of Judah when it can't be proven? You think that the Messiah would come through a corrupted bloodline as the Jews have tried to believe or convince you? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said that they would deceive the very elect if possible. I know them that say they are Jews, the Messiah said in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, but are liars. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a faction right out of the house of Judah that is bloodline split with an evil Canaanite seed affiliation, and Christ recognized them in John chapter 8, verse 37, when they declared to be Abraham's children, he acknowledged it. But did you know that the Bible said that Abraham was a father of many nations. But in Isaac shall the seed be called. And right here, the birthright, Esau sold it to Jacob. Jacob bought it. You say, well, it's through deception. Yahweh will use any means that he has to set the house in order. And ladies and gentlemen, this has not been a pretty picture. It's full of blood and murder and deception and deceit and conspiracy and intrigue. And only the wise will understand this and see the great mystery of how the serpent sowed the seed in the garden. You say, oh, I don't believe in that, Pastor Buddy. You know, there's a false prophet up in the great state of Nebraska, and he called this old gray-headed prophet a freak. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll find out if we get a live debate going just who the freak is. He denies that the serpent had a relationship with Eve. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very plain that the serpent had a seed in Genesis 3:14 and 15. To deny that is to join the crowd of denial, to reject the knowledge. And all they do this for is for popularity and for deception and for deceit and for the love of money, just like the people of Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelation 3 and 9. They're liars and slow bellies. Having men's admiration in mind, I don't care whether you like me or not. I could care less. I'm not running for dog catcher. That's what they're running for, the office of dog catcher. I'm running for the kingdom of heaven. And I'm running with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, observing Mark 12:29 and Deuteronomy 6 and 4. And I'll have no other gods before me, including Satan and his seed. You don't think that Satan got tares into the kingdom? Oh, that's just, well, now, Pastor Buddy, that's just the spirit of man making him do that. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said you make the spirit of man, the tree, good, and he can only bring forth good fruit. Yahweh ain't lost none of his sheep, whether you believe that or not. And did you know that the devil, I don't care how much you wash him, a pig can't ever stay clean? You'll know a tree by its fruits. A bad tree cannot. Contrary to this false prophet that's got a book out about Eve, did she or didn't she? Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the most deceptive money-making schemes that these evil slow bellies, liars, sympathizers of the Edomite, Canaanite seed, justifying their existence instead of calling what they are, devils from the very beginning and from the vile, evil, seed of Satan, spawned the very devil himself into a manifested flesh body. And Cain's daughter deceived Judah up in Genesis 38 with her beauty. He lay with her and had three sons. Onan, Arah, both were evil, and he killed both of them. Killed Arah, and Yahweh killed him. You say, well, Yahweh loves everybody, Pastor Buddy. Well, get a load of this. Yahweh slayed him. Yahweh hated Esau. Get a load of that. You evil slow bellies that believe that Adam is a father of all the races in the earth. How stupid! You talk about idiots. Man, it really grieves my heart that these that profess to be preachers, they stand in their three-piece business suits, with our gold chain wrapped around their big fat belly, with our lying eyes and deception, and knowing they're doing so because of popular gain. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got no reason to preach for gain. I'm not preaching for a crowd. I'm preaching for a home in heaven, and I've got to preach the truth. And the Bible said, you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and I preach that divine covenant name. Beware of them even that come in the name of Yahweh. This slow belly, come in the name, wrote a book and said that Eve is a mother of all the races in the earth. If that's so, we've got one of the greatest marvels in science that has ever been created, that if Jacob or if Adam and Eve are the father of all the races upon the earth, good and bad, then it's a pathetic shame that the law of blood genetics, kind after kind, is neutralized and no longer effective, and Yahweh himself is a liar. What they're trying to prove to you is that Yahweh loves everybody, and I'm trying to tell you and prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that those that will not let him reign over them, and he's not going to reign over the devil. The devil and his seed will never stand before Yahweh. It is bound and restricted from ever entering into heaven. That's why the flesh and blood of both the good and the bad are now restricted, because flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, get a load of this, ladies and gentlemen. To be spiritual minded is life and peace. To be carnal minded is death. And those that's preaching that Satan has no children upon the earth are nothing but slow bellies, liars, deceptors, and would deceive the very elect. These are the kind that creep into houses and arrest silly women's mind and captivate them and carry them away to church every Sunday and browbeat them and browbeat upon their brow, or try to inject into the mind this false, unprovable doctrine of Satan. It's a doctrine of devils. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have more than one God, you've got a doctrine of the devil. And the devil has filled this country in Christianity with the Trinitarian and the Twinity doctrine. Most people are hung up on two or three names. When a Bible declares to you emphatically in Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, and many other scriptures, I could stay on here for days and days and preach about this in Revelation Covenant, that the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. It's the only name given, and there's no other name under heaven that's got the name of salvation except the name of Yahweh. You can use a substitute till you get to heaven. And if you ain't got the name of Yahweh in your forehead through the revelation of repentance and baptism in his name, you can get the birthright and the inheritance of the birthright people off of your mind, because you ain't going. You're going to hear him say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have time to cover one minute part of my message tonight. I could preach for 10 hours on the journey of the birthright people and prove to you where they came to and where they're at right now in the great nation of America, now that has been fulfilled through prophetic utterance that their deliverance will come only after the time of Jacob's trouble. Now let's go to the book of Jeremiah real fast. We're going to read verse 7. "Alas for that day." It is a time of Jacob's trouble. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, we are being overrun. Our borders are overrun with the strangers. Oh God, they're God's people, Pastor Buddy. God loves everybody. That's the greatest lie that the devil ever told. You see, the devil don't love everybody. He hates you. But you ain't got enough guts and intestinal fortitude to hate the devil. You say, "Well, I'm not supposed to hate. I'm supposed to love everybody." You read that to me. You read where you're supposed to love the devil in the way. Paul said, these slow bellies that come with their doctrine of Zimri. David said, "Through the precept of the word I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Ladies and gentlemen, if you ain't able to stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And the Christian church has fell for this great Sabbatine lie, which says that the Jews are God's chosen people. Now, I could get into the birthright. Maybe, perhaps, since I'm on this roll of the birthright revelation of the 144,000. You see, the Messiah had to be out of the birthright tribe to get the double portion. What's a double portion? The first resurrection sons and daughters that he rose up in the first resurrection. And the second resurrection, which will be the final end time resurrection. He ain't coming back to stay here 1,000 years. He's not going to rapture a church out and then punish people and then come back for 1,000 years. This is all stupid Christianity of deception of the bell box prophets that are preaching the same right way. You better get away from that and run fast. Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. Now, let's quickly go to Jeremiah chapter 31 and 7, or verse 27 of Jeremiah 31. Let's go there real quickly. Let me quote this out of my memory banks. The day will come I'll sow the house of Israel with man, the seed of the beast and man and the stranger. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, the Aryan people of America and Great Britain, the two houses, one is Manasseh, Great Britain, the other is America, the house of Ephraim, the greatest nation that would rise to prominence, that would raise above even the house of Manasseh. He would be Great Britain. America would be greater. It would be the land of revelation and covenant. And right now, embedded in America, is the salvational hope of the people to bring back the truth to the last days of the house of Israel. The light will shine in America. And although it's in the darkness of Babylonian Egypt in the times of trouble, that's when the greatest light shall shine out of the darkness. The house of Joseph will restore the principal covenant to the birthright. Now, ladies and gentlemen, next Sunday, Yahweh willing, I will get into how that the birthright was manifested to the house of Ephraim. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, well, I know that Christ was a Jew. Glory to God. 99% of the Christians believe that lie. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ was out of the house of Joseph. His bloodline inheritance was a double blessing, and he had to get both resurrections, which is a double resurrection. Resurrection number one, Matthew 25, or Matthew 27, verse 51 and 52 and 53, proves that he had a resurrection. The second resurrection is at his coming. Let it be known, ladies and gentlemen, the first fruits are Yahweh's, and then afterwards, those at his coming. He's coming back in the clouds with power and great glory. The dead and the second resurrection shall arise. And the Bible said, those that remain will not prevent them that sleep in the second resurrection, for Yahweh will resurrect them and bring them with him. Ladies and gentlemen, if he tarries and I die, I'll come back with him in the second resurrection. I'll be on those mighty, magnificent ships of power and glory. And we shall overcome and we will possess the kingdom. We will have the city of New Jerusalem, and the birthright will be given to the people of the kingdom, and Yahweh will destroy Satan and all of the enemy and all of those that are deceived by him by the brightness of his coming. My, I got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. My time is coming gone. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. Now, tonight, if you'd like to call me, I'm live here on WWCR around the world on the mighty transmitting Jewel of the South right out of Nashville, Tennessee. It's May the 20th. We're still rejoicing from the great Passover. Man, I'm on fire. I felt so good in my body, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm now encouraged more than ever. My, what good news from around the country. People are building altars the old-fashioned way. They're getting down on their knees and planting the stones of the 13 tribes with the four stones in the center of the Melchizedek covenant. And they're identifying and they're calling upon the great name in remembrance of Yahweh and his covenant promise to the birthright people. We are going to restore and take it back one altar at a time, one providence at a time, one kingdom at a time. And we're going to open the heavens to the revelation of the truth and close the heavens to the power and deception of Satan. That day of battle has arisen. And ladies and gentlemen, we are fighting the good fight of faith. Let's get on fire for Yahweh. Let's press on. Write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Now that's a Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. If you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight. Give me a call. Let me know how you're receiving the message. Are you a man of the truth and the kingdom and the birthright principles of understanding, or are you carnal and steeped in tradition, sitting in a bell box somewhere on a bell altar, laying on your face, a sobbing with a worldly sorrow, trying to get deliverance? Ladies and gentlemen, deliverance is coming now for the house of Israel. Now, Faith, my number, area code 423-626-2172. Now, that's area code 423-626-2172. And thank Yahweh for all those that stand up and help Pastor Buddy around the country. Many blessings to you, all you tithing payers. May Yahweh's Shekinah blessing fill your heart with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And when he comes on the clouds, you won't be ashamed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get out of here. The old clock on the wall has called us. We got a couple of minutes here. Just to remind you, you want to write me? Write me and tuck in an offering. If you'd like to have this series of The Birthright and the 144,000 in the 1,000 years, we've done it in a series of three. We might do four or five before we get through because I'm on a roll. I feel like preaching on the birthright into the kingdom principles of the 144,000, the risen Christ with the bride in heaven that had the birthright and brought it out of the house of Joseph. Ladies and gentlemen, call me. Area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. Or you can write me. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. I'll see you next Sunday night on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. Many blessings to the house of Israel and Jacob, scattered abroad wherever you congregate. May Israel be blessed.